Would you take the roll?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Van der Haar?
Here.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And Stan Johnson is apparently vacationing, so Cuna Life Church, I'll give the invocation. If you would all stand, please.
My first time, do I step up here?
Yeah.
Excellent. My name's John, associate pastor of Cuna Life Church. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Lord, my first time at one of these meetings, I'm so grateful for this community that I'm a part of that I get to raise my family and raise my kids in. Jesus, we dedicate this meeting to you, and we are grateful for all the incredible leadership you put in our community. Lord, thanks for our mayor, Joe Steer, for the council that we believe tries to keep our community on the right track and in the things that you want us to be in. Lord, we're thankful for our first responders, our firemen, our police officers, everyone that keeps our community safe. We ask your hand over this meeting and ask that everyone who's making decisions would have wisdom. Lord, that every school, every business, everything that follows you would be blessed in this community. We pray your hand over this night tonight. Would you be with us, Lord, in your name? Amen.
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 You'll join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thanks, John. First item is the consent agenda. Any questions or?
Nobody has anything. I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Van der Haar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Thank you. Community reports and requests. We're going to start with Valley Regional Transit Workshop for Kelly Badishain.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. It's my pleasure to be here tonight. We've brought a few updates to you as we've been working on our Valley Connect plan. And if you want to go to the next slide, Chris. Tonight, I'm here to provide you with an overview of the plan and to give you an opportunity to ask any questions and provide any initial comment that you may have. We want to hear from you around the degree that Valley Connect supports your local plans, the coordination of near-term activities, and to get your support in soliciting public comment. Next slide. So some of the things, as we were answering the questions, why Valley Connect and why now? As you know, growth is getting, I mean, there's more growth in the region. Traffic is getting worse. And we provided this slide just to kind of give you a sense of how much more space cars take up compared to buses, and that 40 foot of roadway is required to operate a bus where you requires 280 feet of roadway for those same 19 cars. We also have a way of showing that in the next slide that is actually a scene from downtown Boise we did a few years ago, where you can see when you put all those cars in the road, those same number of people in a bus. So it really can be a very helpful way of getting people around and also help us use our road space a little bit more efficiently. Another reason that Valley Connect is important is it saves households money. We learned in our research that here in the region that we're spending on our own personal mobility about $1.5 billion a day, and that's in people's being able to just get around. You know, right now we're spending $15 million a year on public transportation. And then it also could save households money in the next slide about $8,000 to $9,000 a year. So for somebody who chooses to use public transportation, that's better than probably most people getting a pay increase every year. A quick overview of Valley Connect and the context. We took this planning process as Compass is updating their Communities in Motion plan. We looked out to 2040 and we said, what is the population and employment and traffic projections that we need to have here? Is it able to move forward? One more. There you go. Thank you. What is the projections that we need to have out into 2040 to meet those goals of that Compass has, and what level of public transportation is required to do that? And then we kind of brought that back to the present to say this is what we should be looking like today, and I'll go through some of those slides to kind of show you what we've determined that gap is. We also have been involved in the Envision CUNA update and use that process to inform the planning process specifically to CUNA. And then the Valley Connect plan is what we call an aspirational transit plan. It responds to those needs that are within our communities and defines design principles and network scenarios in order to accomplish those the local goals as well as our regional goals for the future. On the next slide. So in this plan, we show that how we can grow transit service by four times. And in the memo that was provided to you, we outlined the peer study, and that also is supported, that four times the growth is supported by similar communities and regions of similar size that have bus systems in our that would be considered our peers. Valley Connect also shows that we would develop 9 frequent fixed route services, and those are services that have 15 minutes or better service, 100 miles of roadway investments to keep transit moving, and these could be things like transit signal priority, bus stop improvements, things that actually help the bus move through traffic faster. Services from until 9 p.m. or later, 7 days a week on many of the routes. And as we looked at what kind of ridership we could project, we actually believe that with the investments that it's reasonable to expect about an 800% increase in ridership or about $10 million a year. So as you add more service and make the service more desirable to people, you're going to get more people on the vehicles, which creates better productivity. And then we're also using this as a place to launch this idea of mobility as a service, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, but that's really where you integrate the technology and mobility management strategies to be able to help people access the fixed route more efficiently. You can go to the next slide. So what we did that's different about this plan is we based it on scenarios. So the first scenario is our existing conditions. And we're spending about $10 million a year today on public transportation. It's about 100,000 service hours a year, and our capital costs are about $15 million a year. We have identified right now about $23 million in deferred maintenance, and that's for a lack of funding. We're not able to keep up with the maintenance that we have. But for the sake of this exercise, we are spending about $15 million. In the intermediate or in the growth scenario, which is the third scenario, that's the scenario if we were keeping pace with Communities in Motion, that's how much we should be spending today to achieve that goal, which is about 400,000 hours, about $191 million a year, or not a year, but over the horizon, the six-year horizon of the plan for capital. And then what we offered in this plan is, given that that's a big gap, what could we do if we got halfway there? And what kinds of services could we do with $20 million? So as you look at the details in the plan, you can see these three different scenarios, which gives us the opportunity to be able to start identifying corridors that we can begin working with partners to try to develop. A little more, the next slide shows a little bit more detail on those capital expenditures and how we came up with those numbers. It includes buses, maintenance facilities, corridor improvements, passenger amenities, and park and rides and technology are the primary things that are making up the capital. And the biggest expense, of course, is the buses and the corridor improvements. Now, that doesn't mean Valley Regional Transit would have to make all those improvements, though some of those are being made already in the corridor, so we would certainly work closely with ITD and ACHD where possible. The next slide talks about that Valley Connect does support your community. And the map, we're not going to go into a lot of detail as we have in previous presentations, but what we are able to do with Valley Connect is really connect CUNA to Meridian, to Boise, all the way up to connecting routes up to Eagle, to Napa. So you're really in a good location with that access to those Meridian services to be able to take advantage of that. We're also supporting Envision CUNA, the plan update, in that we looked at the mid and high density residential corridors and neighborhood centers. This service can help you preserve open space. As we were doing our public outreach in CUNA, we heard a lot from people that they want to maintain this rural community, this rural character of the community. And we think public transportation has a place in that for CUNA. It leverages investments in non-motorized paths and also provides mobility options to youth and those who cannot drive. So one of the things that we want to look at are ways that we can create safe routes to transit and be able to access and really leverage all of the investments that you're making in your community. The other slide, if we go down, we're actually two slides down. I keep forgetting to tell you to advance. There we go. The Valley Connect provides express service between downtown CUNA and Meridian. Then also the connections to Boise and Napa, and it, as I mentioned, it coordinates alignment with Envision CUNA update. The policy context for Valley Connect, which is the next slide, is built on 5 network design principles and define how those routes work together. And we want to ensure the maximum mobility for the public. And then it also has 8 design guidelines. The design principles are network integration, forward thinking, maximizing ridership, encouraging long-term ridership and growth through partnerships and collaboration, and providing access to service from across the region. Some of our design principles and some of the most important ones are to be direct, simple, consistent, and easy to understand for the public. And we want to serve areas where there are strong demand and make lots of connections so people have many options for how they get around. The next slide, I'll talk a little bit more about that ride between the lines concept. This is, in our industry, what we call the first and last mile connections. So a lot of times what keeps people from being able to use transit is having a transit route right in their neighborhood or right, and especially in lower density neighborhoods, that can be kind of hard to do. So what Valley Connect envisions is developing what we call these last mile, first mile options, which can be things like coordinating with Uber and Lyft in some communities. It could mean being able to utilize the services that are already in the community and through technology being able to coordinate those. So we want to also mitigate impacts of these network changes, because when you start applying some of these principles, it may mean that today in Boise we may be serving some routes that would not have service because they don't meet the criteria. But then we would have the opportunity to expand through these mobility management efforts, people's access to the service. And then it also allows us to coordinate services better as well. The last, I think one of the last slides, the next one. So we're in the public outreach phase. The board did approve the plan in January. And we are reaching out to city councils to hear from all of you. We're doing public meetings. There is one planned in CUNA on March 1st with the CUNA Advisory Committee. So we're excited to be here for that. We are doing online surveys, so we'll be posting those and having those out. So if you know of anyone, and we're hoping that CUNA will let us use your distribution networks to let people know about the surveys. And pretty much anybody who wants to have a presentation, we'll make ourselves available and come talk to them about the plan. What we really want to find out from folks is tell us about the services they would like to see in their community, and thinking about the trade-offs that we need to understand. What's important to people? How should we prioritize services in their area? So the last slide will be, like I said, for the next few weeks, collecting public and stakeholder feedback. And we'll also identify near-term actions to coordinate transit services with, continue with your comprehensive planning process, and identify near-term applications for these emerging mobility technologies that are on the horizon. And one thing I've been thinking about as we think about the fact that our region is so behind with our public transportation services. And as I have been reflecting on that in the last few years, technology is really a game changer for a lot of regions in terms of how to help people get around more effectively. And sometimes, I guess, when you're so far behind, in some ways we can get out ahead with much more affordable transportation and mobility solutions, because we don't have a lot of legacy systems that we have to go back and reinvent. So that's my glass half full analysis of our situation. So with that, Mr. Mayor, I would stand for any questions and would love to hear what the council thinks about the plan and on your mind.
Kelly, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I know you and Stephen have done a lot of work, and I appreciate that CUNA is now a large part of that discussion. Mm-hmm. And I realize that one of the hardest things is convenience. Mm-hmm. And people are willing to spend more money on convenience, so making these routes accessible and so you don't have to spend a lot of time commuting. Mm-hmm. Using bus and transit systems is going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
I appreciate your efforts on that.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think CUNA is really in a good position to be able to take advantage of some of those riding between the lines kinds of concepts that we want to develop, because we'll be able to have the faster, more direct routes, and getting people to the routes are what the riding between the lines concepts get at. And I think that's really where we can provide something a lot more affordable than the more traditional fixed route bus systems in suburban areas, where they just are the empty bus syndrome, where they don't have high utilization.
Right. Okay. Questions for Kelly? Comments?
You're going to let me
right.
Be easy this time.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very
thank
much
you.
For your
Kelly,
attention.
Thank you very much.
And then we'll be reaching out to Chris for maybe helping us distribute the survey.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you. Next up, we have CUNA Police Department statistical update. CUNA Police Chief John McDaniel. Welcome, Chief.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. We ended up, probably will not be until March or April before we have a comprehensive year-end report for 2017. We did just recently buy some software that would allow us to, at Barrister at the main office, to have more real-time data, and so we hope to get that to be a much more streamlined process. I wanted to share a little bit with you. This is some data we pulled from just our dispatch side only, so it's not the FBI crime reporting that we send into the state, which then goes into the feds. But this is just from our dispatch only, and this was pulled because of the community meeting that we had a couple of 3 weeks ago. And just some highlights on this one real quick. So we're staying pretty steady. I mean, I think one of the concerns from the community was if we had a spike in crime going, and I know we have small periods of, a spree, whether it's, vandalism or what it might be. But overall, if you look at the first box at the top, we're still right at that between 2016 and 17, that 0.20. So one out of every five citizens calls in throughout the year on average, and that stayed real consistent. So even though our calls for service, and to explain the two, so CAD, and again, this will be more user-friendly in our yearly report. Apologize for some of this, kind of hard to understand, but so the CAD calls are the calls that we initiate ourselves, where the calls for service are from the citizens. So whether it's a traffic stop or anything that we might initiate ourselves. So the gray is just the police officers themselves, and the green is the community calling in. One of the things we're seeing across the valley, there's several, reasons why we're not seeing as much of our own officer initiated. And as we look at, I want to know, why are those calls down, that we're initiating. And there's a lot of different answers to that. We bit off on a major new computer-aided dispatch system. And so we're still working through a couple. Right now, it's only tracking the amount of calls, for example, that the deputies do within city limits. And once in a while, so if they start a traffic stop, and it's in a section between city limits, and that you go through a section of county to get back into city limits, if they make that traffic stop in the county, it's very exact. So we're working through some of those. We're going to get that changed, or we can see what our deputies are doing if they're between city limits. I think some of the bigger factors are, if you talk to the prosecutor's office, they've been pretty public about felony filings are up 70%, just a massive spike in serious, parole violators in our jail. I think today we're at, close to 200. There's just a lot going on in the valley where our calls are really taking more time. If you look at the next chart over on the same page, not a huge spike in the high priority calls and emergency calls, but definitely an increase. And those are taking more time. We do have an absolute, across the nation, but also in this valley, we've seen an increase of over 200% of the opiate-type-related incidents as far as people in crisis. And the next slide, I'll be able to show you, it'll talk about our mental hold cases. And those mental holds cost, well over a couple $1,000, each one of those that we do to the county and other stakeholders. And we're now starting to be able to use pathways and things like that. So those aren't showing up on here. But so between the felony filings and we're seeing the quantity not necessarily increase, but definitely the intensity of our calls. The prosecutor is needing, us to do our just that much better of a job as we're seeing folks unfortunately get a little bit more violent in some of the calls that we end up responding to. And thanks, Chris, for the next slide. If we look at our crime rate as it's projected, and this is not through dispatch, but through our crime reporting, which again, they're about a month and a half, 2 months behind, but it looks like our crime rate's gonna be down. That's a really good sign. Proactive policing for the month of November, we're really trying to focus on that for any moments of our discretionary time that we do have. We're trying to just be very wise with all those opportunities. So we're hoping to see that continue to increase. We did go from 396 to 558 in November. Happy to see that our code 3 response times are staying under that 3 minutes that we'd like to see. And again, arrests, boy, they definitely go up and down depending on the month, and we will continue to keep a close eye on that. And again, we hope to see less and less mental holds because we can start to use, again, that pathways, which is no cost to anybody we bring there. And a lot of times they can do the exact and give the person in crisis and the family every bit of help that sometimes even more that the hospital and then one of the psych centers could have for no cost to the county. And And so we're excited about Pathways being open right there by Barrister. So we're using as much as we can. And with that, I stand for any questions.
Questions for Chief? Yeah, I know that as the severity of the crimes go up, then that requires more officer time out on those calls because you have to investigate those and make a stronger case for the prosecutor and those types of things. So it certainly takes a lot more time. But I do want to thank you and your crew. They're busy all the time. If they're not on calls for service, they are doing some community outreach and spend a lot of time with the community, and I'm really happy with the rapport that we have with our citizens and our police department. And
it's definitely a team effort.
Outstanding job there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you. I know it'll break everyone's heart that we have no public hearings tonight. Item 7A, consideration to approve H1LLA, lot line adjustment for Anaki Elite, Jace Hellman Planner 2.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, good evening. For the record, Jace Hellman, Keno Planning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The application before you tonight is just for a lot line adjustment. It essentially would reduce the acreage of the parcel which contains the existing Kuna Caves mini storage facility from 5.51 acres to around 4.81 acres. And then it would increase the acreage of the larger parcel that surrounds the existing area on the north and east side from 13.65 acres to 14.34. The applicant's intent behind this was just to make better use of the underutilized northwest corner of the existing storage facility. He wanted to make the corner available to be included in any future commercial development that may occur along the frontage property. Essentially, this application complies with Kuna City Code and the comprehensive plan and staff put forward recommendation of approval for case number 18-01-LLA. And I'll stand for any questions you guys might have.
Okay. Questions for Jace?
Nope.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Everything looks in order, nothing too crazy, and staff recommended approval, so I move we approve 1801-LLA.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve 18-01-LLA. See, it's not that hard to say LLA. I don't know why that was so tough the first time. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Next item is a request for funding allocation for economic development convention and database software. Robin Collins, Economic Development Administrator.
Mayor, Council, my name is Robin Collins, and it's a pleasure to be before you tonight as the city's Economic Development Administrator. I'm on my seventh week here at the city, and we've hit the ground running, and I'm very excited about the opportunities that are moving forward. The request before you tonight, in your packet, you had a memo that detailed specifically the request. It was for some software for tracking business retention, expansion, attraction, just anything that has to do with economic development. We had another software program also that was needed that we were already able to get that through the current budget. This is the only one that we were not able to facilitate in that budget. The other funding allocation request is for a convention. It's an International Conference of Shopping Centers. It's a retail convention in Las Vegas. I really feel that Kuna, with all the growth that they've had, that we really are positioned to be able to go after retail, especially with all the residential growth that we have seen come in. And part of that competitiveness for that retail is attending these conventions and meeting with the retail brokers and the developers and the actual companies and really getting your name out there, showing them what CUNA has, the assets, and any marketable pieces that are ready to be marketed to them. So with that, I will stand for any questions you might have.
So a couple of years ago, we had actually put an advertisement in a magazine that was fairly expensive that went to all of these people. And I can definitely see that this type of thing where you make direct contact with people is going to be a lot more beneficial than something that's in a magazine that hopefully they see, but they probably won't. And so I don't believe this is any much more expensive than that ad was we bought. Not that that wasn't useful, but I certainly appreciate everything you're doing, and I'm really pleased with the progress we're making. And I think now is the time to kind of go after some of that retail market and let them know that CUNA is growing, and now is a good time for them to get their feet planted in our community if they want to be here while there's space available and they can find a good location. So, questions for Robin?
No, I tend to agree with everything that you said, Mayor, and I know that in trying to figure out what sort of a working budget this position would need, we weren't really sure when we were deciding that we were going to hire somebody to be our economic development analyst. So these requests make sense to me, and you know, I appreciate that we'll have a clear idea going forward of what we can budget and can plan proactively for that. But, yeah, they both look reasonable to me. So anybody else have questions or comments?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And I guess point of clarification, is all this coming out of general fund or does it get spread amongst anything? Okay. I move we authorize a total expenditure of $5,532 from the contingency fund, $3,000 of which will be for executive pulse database software, and $2,532 of which would be for the International Conference of Shopping Centers Convention, the ICSC in Las Vegas.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the $5,532 from the General Contingency Fund for the request made. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you very much, Robin. Next is a consideration to approve resolution number R10-2018. Richard Roach.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Richard Roach, before you is a resolution for the EDU transfers. As you'll recall, we have, I think, approximately 12,000 EDUs out there that are for sale. A number of those are KeyBank EDUs, and then a number of those have been purchased. John Marsh, in the settlement agreement, we were required to keep track of and assign serial numbers to these EDUs. John has put those together in this, and as we are moving forward and having some of these EDUs sold to third parties, we've decided it's time to formalize the tracking method that we had so developers, persons that own these things would know how we're going to keep track of those. So that's what I've done with this EDU. Is essentially we now have to come in to get these transfers done. We had a situation where somebody owned some of these EDUs and they sold them to somebody else, and we just want to make sure that they're all tracked so we have them properly accounted for. I'll stand for any questions.
Yeah, the further we got into this, the more we realized this was going to become a problem as they transferred ownership around, and so that's kind of why we decided to do this. Richard, go ahead.
Richard, the bank had priority over the sales to the city's EDUs, if I remember right.
The bank has priority over those EDUs that the city sells that are not currently at the time of the settlement owned by somebody else. So the bank ended up with a large number of EDUs. Those are priority EDUs, and those are being sold as somebody comes in to pick up a building permit. We have to sell those first.
So the transfer of the EDUs allocates those rights to the transferee as to priority then. The same priority the bank had is transferred with those EDUs at this time.
No, that's not correct. So in the settlement agreement, those EDUs that the bank possesses, if the bank sells those EDUs to somebody else, they lose their position, their priority position. So the bank has not done any sales, including bulk sales of those. They come down to the city, and typically we haven't had any sales of KeyBank EDUs other than a builder or a developer coming in and buying them on an individual basis. So this transfer deals with the other part of that equation, those that were owned by somebody else that paid those off at the time of the settlement, and making sure that we keep track of those.
Oh, okay.
They all have serial numbers. They all go back to the original parcel, but they're broken out into KeyBank EDUs, and then the property owners at the time who paid those off, and if they're not developing their property, they're now wanting to sell those. So this defines the policy for that sale.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
So the problem came with the prepaid EDUs that he's talking about, and when those would transfer and move around.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. I move we approve resolution R10 2018.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution number R10 2018. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Consideration to approve resolution number R11-2018, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director.
Mayor, Council, I recently lost another member of my Park Impact Fee Committee, and talking with Jace, he says he wants to be part of it. I think he'd be a good fit with what we want to do. So I recommend appointing him into the position, or appointing him on the Park Impact Fee Committee.
I think it makes sense that since the person who left was a planning and zoning employee, that another one would take his place, so it makes sense to me. Any other questions or anything?
No.
Did you have a question?
I'm just wondering if Bobby is too tough on these people, Mayor. They seem to be going pretty quick.
Yeah, he actually quit and moved to Boise, so I think it's Bobby's fault.
All right, I'll loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, when I think Bobby Withrow, the first thing that comes to mind is like real stickler.
Strong arm guy.
Yeah. I move we approve resolution R11-2018.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution number R11-2018. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Ordinances. 8A, consideration to approve ordinance number 2018-02, an ordinance of the City Council for CUNA, Idaho, amending CUNA City Code 2-1-1, commission created membership to change the county residency requirement to 2 years from 5 years, and to allow a commissioner to serve beyond the two full consecutive terms by motion of the City Council for reappointment and 2/3 vote, and providing an effective date.
evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Richard Rhodes. This basically just cleans up the Kena City Code to conform with state code, changing it from the 5 years to the 2 years and allowing the council to reappoint after their two full consecutive terms as provided for in state code. I'll stand for questions.
We have some very good planning and zoning members that for some reason want to continue to do that job. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I very much appreciate the folks who do the job because it tends to be fairly thankless. And I think it's great that we're making it a little bit easier to have that opportunity. And so I'm in favor of all the changes that are suggested.
So I don't think this is anything controversial, so we should be able to fast track this one.
That's what I was going to say. Okay. I move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2018-02.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance Number 2018-02. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve Ordinance 2018-02.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Ordinance Number 2018-02. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve summary publication of Ordinance 2018-02.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve a summary publication of Ordinance 2018-02. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And upon publication, that will become law. Consideration to approve Ordinance Number 2018-03. An ordinance of the City of Kuna, Idaho, annexing a portion of the south half of the southwest quarter of Section 15, Township 2, North Range 1, West Boise Meridian, Kuna, Ada County, Idaho, and commonly referred to as a Crimson Point Subdivision 8 and 9, respectively, into the Kuna Municipal Irrigation District, from the Boise-Kuna Irrigation District, changing the respective boundaries of said districts, declaring water rights appurtenant thereto, or pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law, and providing an effective date.
So this is just the standard that whenever we have properties come into the city, we move them into the Kuna Municipal Irrigation District. Right?
Yes.
So nothing crazy here. So with that in mind, I move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2018-03.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance 2018-03. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve Ordinance 2018-03.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Ordinance Number 2018-03. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve summary publication of Ordinance 2018-03.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve a summary publication of Ordinance 2018-03. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carries, and upon publication, that will become law. Consideration to approve Ordinance Number 2018-04. An ordinance of the City Council for Kuna, Idaho, annexing a portion of government lot number 4 of Section 19, Township 2, North Range 1, East Boise, Meridian, Kuna, Ada County, Idaho, and commonly referred to as Lock and Roll Self Storage, which is owned by Lock and Roll Self Storage, LLC, into the Kuna Municipal Irrigation District from the Boise-Kuna Irrigation District, changing the respective boundaries of said districts, declaring water rights appurtenant thereto, are pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law and providing an effective date.
All right, so same as the last one, I move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2018-04.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance Number 2018-04. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve Ordinance 2018-04.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2018-04. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Buben Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2018-04.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve summary publication of ordinance number 2018-04. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carries, and upon publication, that will become law. And that is it for the agenda. Mayor, council announcements. Is there anything that council wants to bring up, mention?
Nope.
Come on, Richard, you got to have something.
Nothing. I just want to know why the new councilman was late.
I was waiting for it. I was so very, very kindly helping one of our current CUDA residents over at work.
I left you a parking place right up in front.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Well, if nothing else, meeting is adjourned.